name. Darius Chisholm, longtime, of course, with WPXI in Pittsburgh. That was just a minor part of her career. No, it was a major part, but my gosh, when you take a look at her resume, folks, it's an amazing thing. But we're always very pleased to welcome WNBS and Emmy Award winner. Darius, welcome to WNBS. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Good to be here with you. Thank you so much for inviting me.
The issue that we're going to talk about, obviously, is a very sensitive one to lots and lots of people out there who, in many cases, are ashamed to talk about it. But your new group, 50 Shades of Silence, came to you from a very personal problem that you encountered with cyberstalking.
Yeah, very personal indeed. I unfortunately am a recent what I call survivor of cyberstalking, cyber rape, and what sometimes is referred to as revenge porn, after an ex-boyfriend who I lived with in Jamaica for some time had taken photos of me while I was asleep living with him, and then later, many, many months after the relationship was over, in his attempt to get me back, decided that he would start to post and share those naked photos that he had taken that I was completely unaware of.
In a situation like this, obviously it's very difficult to get anything removed from the internet, let alone when it's coming from an international source. You were successful in doing that, but it was no easy task, was it?
No easy task at all. And unfortunately, that's where the bigger issue lies in this, in that we don't have adequate enough laws in place to protect victims of cyberbullying and cyberstalking. There's not strict enough punishment for those perpetrators. And some internet companies are very slow to respond to remove content, if at all, forcing victims to try and seek a court order from judges who are also not adequately prepared to favorably rule for those victims. You know, we've been on the internet for many years, but this issue of cyberstalking, revenge porn, cyberbullying is relatively new, and the laws have not caught up to the number of crimes that exist.
Yeah. And a situation like this is one thing people call the president of the cyberbully for what he might tweet out, to something like this that had a real profound impact on your life. And I'm getting this information from that website. And folks, make sure you check out the website, 50shadesofsilence.com. Terrific information here for those who might be a victim of it, or even ways to avoid being a victim. And naturally, that's a step that can be taken. But in a situation such as yours, what could you have done to avoid that? I mean, it's just it was not possible. You didn't suspect someone that you were in love with to do something like that at a later time.
No, that my situation was, in my own opinion, completely unavoidable. I mean, I lived with, he was my boyfriend. I lived with him. We had a relationship, and these photos were taken at least a year ago. And unfortunately, they didn't come to surface until about 8 or 9 months ago. So in that case, you're dealing with someone who, you know, after a relationship is over, decides to use very intimate photos of which I didn't know were taken. It would have been even different if I'd given him permission, but I did not. And so that's part of the reason why I call this a sense of rape, and that I was completely violated. They were taken and then used in an attempt to threaten me. And, you know, if you ask if it was unavoidable, I can't imagine that, you know, I could say that it is. What has come of this even more so is this attempt at seeking both civil and criminal charges against him. And as you pointed out a few minutes ago, it's tough to do that, particularly in a case that's international, and mine is such. So what I'm finding, and that's part of the reason why I developed 50shadesofsilence.com, the website, and ultimately a documentary that we're planning to shoot, is to really look at where we stand from a country in best protecting our citizens. You know, in many cases, some states don't even have laws in place, and many of them are feeble and lack any teeth. And yet we're all on the internet, and up to 50% of people polled say that they've been harassed in some form online. So we've got to do better at figuring out how can we get information content removed, how best to protect people, and also how best to punish perpetrators so that they won't continue to behave in this way.
And one way, and And obviously, in a situation like this, you never blame the victim, for heaven's sake. Even if you do allow pictures to be taken, they cannot then be used against you. Do you address that issue as well when you have perhaps a photo that was permission was given to take that photo, but then used later when you thought it was simply going to be a private matter? That's far from your case, of course, but a new law would have to affect that as well.
Absolutely. And of course, it butts up against this issue of freedom of speech and exchange of information. And, you know, there's a lot of obviously discussion about that right now, but it still does not give a person permission to expose a person, particularly if these are compromising or damaging photos at will, with the knowing. It's when you know that it's premeditated and you know that you're doing it in a revengeful manner. It can be very damaging. And as we've seen, unfortunately, a number of people have taken their lives because of this sense of shame and embarrassment and humiliation, and with very little recourse. And so that is really the type of work that I see myself and my team and those that are supporting 50 Shades of Silence doing.
We are talking to Darith Chisholm. She is the founder, creator, director, and executive producer of 50 Shades of Silence. Of course, long time with WPXI in Pittsburgh, and still hosts the nationally televised IQ Smart Parent at PBS in Pittsburgh, WQED. This idea obviously came to you at a dreadful time in your life to have something like this happening. It's overused. How do you take this situation and help others with it? But I think the terminology is overused, as I meant to say there, you know, make a silver lining out of something dreadful. But did you start this even before you came to a realization of how to resolve your own problem and how to get these images off the internet?
No, this came very much afterwards. And this is what, for anyone who's listening who has been cyberbullied, if they're going through it, and it literally facing any form of abuse or assault, there is a period in which one is in a lot of pain. And that's part of what this whole sense of being locked in silence is, that who do you tell? You know, especially for children, there's that sense of judgment and ridicule and humiliation. And I was very much there. I mean, I've led a very public life, and still do. I'm an entrepreneur, a coach, a speaker, an author. I still do a lot of television. The thought that if someone were to see me this way, I mean, it could be potentially damaging. But what happened for me was, when I released the shame and got to a place of realizing I did nothing wrong, and if anything, I could choose this as an opportunity to use my voice, my story, and my platform to positively make change in this space, but also for other victims. And at that point is when I decided that I have to do something about it. And I am still very much in the process of still settling my case. It is far from over. And quite frankly, I may never find justice, in that we're dealing with an international case in another country, but it doesn't mean that I can't find social justice for myself and for others.
So when this occurs, occurs to someone, and they learn of how this internet, these images are being used, it's at this point, until proper laws are enacted, it's probably not a cheap endeavor to get this done. This just isn't something you can do on your computer sitting at home to get these images off. I'm sure it's an expensive process to address the problem.
It certainly is, Doug. I mean, from the standpoint of even hiring an attorney, and I would say, if anyone's listening and you're in this space, you need to find an attorney who's versed in this law, so that you have someone who's familiar with what statutes to include, with whether or not you should be going the route of getting a protection from abuse order, assuming that there's some cyber stalking statute that's associated with it. But of course, there's those attorney fees and court costs associated with it. Then when you start to look at takedown services, those can be expensive as well. At 50shadesofsilence.com, we have included some resources there on ways that you can work with some of the social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, to work through trying to get some of your material, content, images taken down or removed. But ultimately, when you're dealing with a website, that's a different process, and utilizing a good takedown service could be the option for you, albeit an expensive option. But we have some of those listed at the website as well.
You've worked with Dr. Holly Jacobs, who is the board president and executive director of the Cyber Civil Rights Initiative. An organization like this, and I've worked with similar groups back in my lobbying days, who were very effective at creating the legislation needed state by state. I assume this group has worked on things such as that, but that's the next step. Is your goal to go state by state by state, or do it from a federal standpoint?
Well, I mean, my goal first and foremost is to be the sounding board and to literally have the rallying call and to use my resources as it relates to television and storytelling to make sure that people are aware of what's going on, and then to point them in the right direction to organizations like the Cyber Civil Rights Initiative with Dr. Holly Jacobs and a number of others that have been in the field for some time working to get adequate laws in place and law enforcement aware of what to do. So there are people in the fringes who've been there. We are aligning ourselves with them, and my goal is to let everyone know and then point them in the right direction. Dr. Holly Jacobs will be one of the people featured in my documentary, along with Marianne Franks, who Holly worked very closely with, who's actually worked with some legislators and crafted some of the initial language that some states are using. So they both will be featured in the documentary, along with some other victims and survivors and legislators who are working on this.
We were talking to Daria Chisholm about her new organization, recently crafted 50 Shades of Silence. Check out that website, 50shadesofsilence.com, the number 50shadesofsilence.com. So when you're taking a look at this, and the statistics are really sobering, and again, information that you've provided to us here, 47% of internet users have experienced online harassment or abuse. 72% have witnessed at least one person harassing, or one example of online harassing behavior. Those numbers are overwhelming, and those are the ones who, in a poll such as this, would admit to it, which is always a tough thing to admit to, especially when it's happening to you. You might admit that you've seen it happen to other people, but trying to get past the shame of this is very difficult.
And I would agree. The numbers don't adequately reflect what I believe are the true numbers, because who wants to open up and talk about this? And, you know, we just launched, and I have had lots of emails that have come in with people sharing their story, saying for the first time, I feel safe enough or at least heard enough to share this, and this is what has happened to me. I doubt seriously that if they were polled that they would give up that information. And so I'm grateful that they've chosen to share it with me, some of which we will never disclose their information out of their privacy, but their ability to speak out, because that can be very therapeutic. And others who we may in fact include in the documentary and perhaps subsequently an anthology. But to the point that you made about these numbers, I suspect that there are many more. And, you know, we are all online. And what's happened, I believe, is that we're creating this social acceptance that when we see even these memes that are extremely harassing, that people create, and there's a photo and then there's damaging information or lies, and that information gets circulated, it's as if we're becoming somewhat sterile to it. We don't, you know, we're seeing them, we're laughing at them, but they could be so damaging to someone. And so the sensitivity, the level of sensitivity, in my opinion, is lessening because we are being exposed to it more often. But that doesn't make it right.
Melania Trump, the First Lady, has indicated that one of her main initiatives as First Lady will be addressing the issue of cyberbullying. Some find that sort of unusual, considering her husband's ability to cyberbully via tweeting. But it's risen to that level. I'm not sure what exactly has been accomplished so far. What will be accomplished naturally, we wouldn't know. But when it comes to the level of the First Lady taking on something like that, it's gotten that national level of concern.
I said to my crew the other day, it would be an honor to interview her. I mean, of course, going to the White House and interviewing a first lady of any sort would be, but because she said this is her platform, I very much want to know, how does she stand on it? What is she doing about it? What will she do about it? How is she working with legislators to enact stricter enforcement and better policy? How can we better educate law enforcement so that when someone turns to them, they know to take the information, redact any of it, treat them more like a rape victim who needs to be protected so they're not overexposed to any media or additional criticism. You know, law enforcement, it's in many cases, are unaware of that. And so, yes, I would love to be able to interview the First Lady and find out from the office that you stand in, what can you do to not only protect children, but individuals in this country online?
And that, and on our last minute here, again, we're talking with Darith Chisholm, the founder, creator, director, and executive producer of 50shadesofsilence.com. And in a situation like this, especially when it comes to an adult doing it to a child, I would have to think that penalties in newly enacted legislation would have to be harsher, not unlike child rape or sexting a child. I mean, that just came to the forefront nationally with Anthony Weiner being sentenced to almost 2 years in jail for doing just that, and another form, naturally, of cyber rape. But it's hit the national attention, and folks, take a look at this website, 50shadesofsilence.com, 50shadesofsilence.com. Darith Chisholm, thank you so much for giving us all this time to talk about this topic today.
You're welcome. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Good luck with the effort, and we look forward to talking to you again as the documentary comes together and before it's aired.
Absolutely. Be delighted.
Okay. Thanks. Darith Chisholm, folks. I certainly know the name. You're-